Welcome to The Clever Cookster, your ultimate window into the kitchens of the world's best cooks. I'm your host, Kara Rhoda. Our guest today is Autumn Giles, a freelance writer and recipe developer who blogs at autumnmakesanddoes.com and is on Twitter and Instagram at autumnmakes. Autumn is the author of Beyond Canning, New Techniques, Ingredients, and Flavors to Preserve, Pickle, and Ferment Like Never Before. Welcome, Autumn.
Thanks so much for having me, Kara.
Hey, Clever Cookster fans. If you like listening to our podcast, why not subscribe to our Quick and Dirty Tips newsletters? We're launching our Clever Cookster newsletter very soon, so be sure to sign up now so you won't miss anything. You'll get exclusive content, offers, and more delivered right to your inbox. Just head over to quickanddirtytips.com/newsletters to learn more. That's quickanddirtytips.com/newsletters. I'm so excited to talk to you today about your new book because it's really only in the past year or so that I've gotten really comfortable, and by really comfortable, I mean I occasionally do it with pickling and fermenting at home and in still sort of an experimental low-key way, but I really feel like it's starting to become part of the repertoire of home cooks in a way that was maybe too intimidating before. Have you noticed that that's true?
Yay. I'm so happy to hear you say that first. And, you know, I'm so happy to hear you kind of also talk about it being more part of the repertoire for home cooks, because that's really, you know, a goal of mine. And I think something that, you know, I think that's how it should be. I often feel like, and maybe this was your experience, but if there's one kind of gateway recipe, for example, the recipe on the cover of my book is preserved lemons with green chili flakes. And preserved lemons are something that are pretty easy to make. And I think they're an approachable kind of like entry point. So that's a recipe that I've been demoing a lot. And it's so cool to when I demo a recipe like that, because it's really just cutting up lemons, putting some salt in them basically, and waiting. And so when I demo a recipe like that, to hear people say, okay, I can do this. Like, this seems so easy. I'm going to start with this, you know? So, I love to hear stuff like that. And I certainly hope that that's the direction that things are going.
Yeah, I feel like the perception of canning for a long time was that it was this very complex and dangerous hobby that required a lot of equipment, a restaurant quality sanitation. And this is really not that. This is really just sort of learning how to preserve foods in a variety of different ways, which you can talk about some of those ways, that fits into your everyday kitchen routine, that isn't a whole new project that you need special equipment or space for. It's really something you can dabble in as a home cook with pretty low pressure and low investment.
Yeah, definitely. And that was my hope for this book is, you know, like I was saying, for folks who maybe are passionate home cooks who really like to try new recipes, to find their place in preserving. You know, I don't think that everyone, or I'm not under the impression that everyone is going to fully stock a pantry every summer. I mean, some folks do that and it's awesome, but just kind of accepting that that's not for everyone and that's not how everyone is going to come to preserving. So my hope for this book was definitely to provide, you know, a wide range of recipes for folks to get excited about. For example, if you have a, you know, place you really love to pick strawberries, and maybe every year that becomes kind of part of your routine and your tradition, and what are the recipes then that you want to make with that? I also, you know, I really kind of tried to stretch in terms of flavor combinations in this book, and it's been cool to hear feedback so far. You know, I had an event this past weekend, a book signing, and a friend of mine who has, she's a bit older than me, has been preserving for a long time, and she, you know, is a avid gardener and definitely was, you know, someone who put up a lot of food every year. And it was so cool to hear the feedback from her, to hear her say, you know, my family is all out of the home now. And I think she said it kind of felt like a whole new world to her to be able to make, to try different things in small batches and to preserve in small batches. And that was such a cool compliment that I got, that coming from someone who had been preserving for such a long time.
So in the subtitle, you mentioned preserving, pickling, and fermenting. Can you talk a little bit about the differences between those techniques and how they might rank on the difficulty scale?
Sure. So the book is divided into those three sections. It's sweet preserves, which are things that people maybe recognize more readily than others. So, you know, jam, marmalade, fruit butters, like pear butter, things like that. The other section is pickling or preserving with vinegar. So those are, you know, a vinegar brined carrot pickle, for example, or relishes that are preserved with vinegar. And those use those two sections use water bath canning and also some, you know, smaller batches that you just put in the fridge. And the third section is fermentation, which all three sections are small batch recipes. The fermentation section is things like sauerkraut or kimchi, and those are all made in a quart mason jar. So again, not something you'll have to go out and buy a crock, something you can do in a really small scale at home. In terms of difficulty, that's an interesting question because I would say the fermentation recipes are easiest in terms of, you know, there's no water bath processing, right? And in terms of the equipment you need, it's just a quart mason jar. And I also recommend using an airlock, which you don't have to, but I really think they give really consistent results. So there's a lot of cool airlock systems that are made specifically for quart mason jars. So it's my inclination to say that that might be the easiest and it might be a great place for people to begin. However, I also think that it can be a challenge psychologically, fermentation, because you're leaving something, you're leaving food on the counter for 2 weeks. And, you know, at least, and just kind of like, I think that can often be the hardest part of fermentation for people because the recipes are really easy. You just smash vegetables together with salt and shove them in a jar. In terms of familiarity, I think the sweet preserve recipes may be easier. But of course there are, you know, just in terms of, oh, this is something I'm familiar with. I know people who make jam, that kind of thing. So it can feel like more comfortable, more familiar, easier, I think. However, for all of the, you know, for any kind of new preserver, anyone who's coming to this and wanting to get into it and might be feeling a little challenged by it, I always recommend either seeking out a class in your area or seeking out a knowledgeable friend and doing it with someone the first time, because I think that can take away, you know, having someone there, talking to them about their experience doing it, their successes with it, can just be super reassuring. And that's what I did when I first got started preserving. My friend Kate, who wrote the Hip Girls Guide to Homemaking books and blogs, Hip Girls Guide to Homemaking, had a preserving party, and I did it with a bunch of people and people who had done it before. And that, you know, that was years ago. And that still sticks out in my head as like the place where I got started with preserving and really connected with it because I connected with other people who had been doing it.
I think that's right. And I think part of that too is having someone kind of over your shoulder when you have questions like, is this normal? Does this look right? Does this feel right? What should this smell like?
Sure.
What should the bubbles be like? So yeah. What are some of those common problems that people find themselves experiencing, or not even problems, but just sort of question moments, and how do you troubleshoot them?
Well, you know, you're like mentioning with the smell and that, those are often questions about, regarding fermentation, right? Just to start there. And I said that I recommended using an airlock. And that was something that, and so I should say basically what an airlock is there's a bunch of different ones. They look a lot different, but they're made specifically for quart mason jars, and they allow, during the fermentation process, the gas to escape and keeps the oxygen out, right? And so I'm very much like a less is more, make do with what you have person. So it kind of took me a while to come around to saying this other thing is worth buying. You know, it's worth buying one more thing. But I think the biggest way I troubleshoot those issues with fermentation is recommending airlocks for folks. Because, you know, if you've read about fermentation before, you've probably read something about, like, if there's mold, skim the mold. And that's great because some people, and it's absolutely true and safe to do that. But I feel like that can also be a barrier for a lot of folks who are new to fermentation to, you know, not only take that step to place a food on the counter, leave it for 2 weeks, but then have to peel mold off of it. It's just like, I just think it's a barrier. So the biggest way I troubleshoot with fermentation is recommending those small batch mason jar airlocks. They, you can make them if you, you know, YouTube mason jar airlock, you can make it with some, you know, pretty basic tools. You can order them online. And that cuts down on the smell. If you live with roommates, it really reduces instances of having to skim mold off of something and that kind of thing. It just, it produces more consistent results every time. It's normal to feel at first like you have a ton of questions about the process, you know, like you're saying. But I would again go back to doing it with someone. Books like The Ball Book are great for beginners because they offer a huge wide range of, like, if this happens, do this, if this happens, do this, that kind of thing.
What are some of the more unusual ingredients you suggest that people try preserving? I think beyond pickles and sauerkraut, there's really a whole world of foods. I made fermented pickled daikon last summer.
Yeah.
It was like one of the best things I ate all summer. I was
excited
about it. And it's an ingredient that I'm not usually that excited about when it's not pickled. So what are some of the more unusual things that you have people preserving in the book?
Daikon ferments so well, and it's kind of just a lot of the radishes do, really. But daikon, it's kind of a blank canvas too, and you can kind of spice it up any way that you want, but it has that awesome sourness. So one of the recipes that really pleasantly surprised me in the book was, and is kind of unusual. Before I wrote the book, I didn't really think about fermenting it. Is there's a kraut recipe that has the base is radicchio, and it has sunchokes in it too. It's a radicchio and sunchoke kraut with thyme, and radicchio is always kind of a difficult vegetable for me. I like bitter flavors, but I always had trouble preparing it in a way that, you know, I was really excited about. But I made this kraut with it, and I was so pleasantly surprised. The bitterness kind of mellowed. It got super sour, and it was just really delicious. And I think it's something that you might not think like, oh, I could ferment that. So that's one that kind of stuck out to me. Another surprise hit from the book so far has been, there's a Bloody Mary pickled egg recipe. And that was one that I was a little nervous about because I thought, are people really going to be that excited about pickled eggs? And it's kind of, I was afraid it might be something that would be off-putting to people, but so many people have told me, oh, that's the first thing I made from the book. And I really loved it so much. And so that's been a favorite to hear feedback about. There's a fridge pickle in the book, a vinegar fridge pickle that is pickled shiitake mushrooms. And it's in a little like a brine that uses kombu seaweed. And I think that's another one that folks might not think of preserving is the shiitake mushrooms.
I love too that a big part of it is not just thinking about what to preserve, but the brine that it goes in or the spices that you pickle something with have such a role too. Really, when you're making an item that's preserved or fermented or pickled, it's a dish and all of those things are ingredients in the dish. So it's not just the thing in the brine, but what's in the brine, what are the spices, what's the overall flavor profile that you end up with as these things combine.
Yeah, thank you. I appreciate that.
And then when you have some of these pickled and fermented and preserved foods, how do you use them in recipes? When you make kimchi, what do you do with it other than just eating it straight out of the fridge, which is super fun and delicious. What are some ways that you suggest people use these things in other foods?
Sure. Actually, I should give a shout out. My friend Marina, who is a personal chef, her name is Marina Berger, and she put there's a daikon garlic noodles recipe in the book that is a spiralized daikon and just fermented. And so it's like a veggie noodle and it's fermented, and she put them in a miso broth. She tweeted me that she put them in a miso broth, and I was like, ah, that's such a good idea. So it's been so cool to see what folks are doing with the recipes in my book too. Let's see, for example, you know, I'm a big taco eater. I live in the Southwest. And fermented veggies are always go on my tacos. There's a chipotle cauliflower kraut recipe in the book that is, the base is cauliflower and has a nice smoky chipotle flavor in it. And that's an awesome one for tacos or nachos, especially if you're not a meat eater, because it has that kind of smoky flavor that I think is really nice. I often use, you know, if I, on the weeks that I'm really on top of it and try to cook some stuff in advance for the week, like I'll roast, you know, some squash and I'll cook up some quinoa. And I think it's also really nice to kind of, rather than just like eating those two things and it not being super exciting and maybe putting some hot sauce on it like I normally would, to stir in some fermented or pickled veggies into like a green salad. It's a really super easy way to kind of make it more flavorful without really increasing your prep time for what you're cooking.
I love that. I think that's great advice. And really, I think the takeaway is these are things that you can keep in your fridge, many of them that are secret weapons that are not only really fun and colorful and kind of exciting in contrast to a lot of the ingredients that we're used to eating, but also in the case of fermented foods, really good for you.
Yes, totally. Yeah, I really like that characterization as a secret weapon. I think, you know, along those same lines, a lot of these, you know, there's a recipe for celery black pepper shrub. And a lot of these recipes, I tried to think too of, you know, there's another recipe for a rosé wine jelly that just uses a little bit of wine. And so I tried to think also of, you know, little bits of things that you might have hanging around and how you can do something with them to preserve them, make them last a little longer. Like celery is one of those things that I always buy for a specific recipe, and then it might kind of hang around in my fridge longer than I want it to. So that was part of the inspiration for that shrub recipe, is what can I do to preserve this little bit of celery on a really small scale so it doesn't just hang out in the fridge.
That's great. Well, thank you so much for sharing all of these helpful tips with us. And I'm really excited for everyone to see the book.
Thank you.
So check out Autumn's new book, Beyond Canning, New Techniques, Ingredients, and Flavors to Preserve, Pickle, and Ferment Like Never Before. And tune in next time on The Clever Cookster for more tips and tricks from the kitchens of the world's best cooks.